starting a series of messages this morning. The series of messages is titled, Run to Obtain. Run to Obtain. And the first message I want to preach to you this morning in regards to running to obtain is the slothful won't run. Paul said, run to obtain. Run to obtain. But if we're going to run, we have to deal with one of the major reasons why people won't run. And one of the major reasons why people won't run is slothfulness. And as Christians, God is against laziness. God is against the slothful. Let me just give you some verses that Solomon gave in Proverbs. He said, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. He said, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. He said, the way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. Solomon wrote these words in Proverbs 24:30. He explains the condition of the slothful man. He said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns. The needle and needles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. You should look at the lives of people who live in slothfulness and live in laziness and be able to consider the end of the ways. Solomon said, as the door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. I think it's clear that God is against laziness. It plagues the church. It plagues the home. It plagues the family. And it most certainly plagues the spiritual conditions of many Christians. A lot of us refuse to be lazy in our business, but maybe we might be lazy in our spiritual business. Slothfulness is refusing to be active in the work that needs to be done. The Bible says, whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Don't be lazy in it. You know, your employer should say of you, that's a good worker. That's a faithful worker. I can count on them. They'll be there when I need them. They'll do the job. They'll do it right. When they call you, you should say, yes, I'll be there. They should be able to count on the Christian. But the truth is that today, the Christian often can't be counted on, because slothfulness has plagued our society in such a manner that it's even plagued the church. But slothfulness in the spiritual conditions of people's lives is horrific. Some of us, if our business was the spiritual condition, we would have been fired a long time ago. If our business was dealing with the spiritual condition of our life, if our pay depended on how we dealt with spiritual matters in our life, some of us would be broke because of slothfulness in the spiritual realm of things. We would never do physically what we often do spiritually. God is against being lazy in our spiritual lives. He expects us to take serious responsibility and to not take for granted the grace and the mercy and the love that Jesus has bestowed in our lives, and take it seriously that we don't be slothful in our business, in our spiritual business. God expects us to overcome laziness in our lives. It was five of the 10 virgins that found themselves without oil when the bridegroom came. It was because of slothfulness in their spiritual life that they found themselves oilless at the time that they needed oil. Jesus told the story about a man who had a great harvest, and he took all of his goods and all of his stuff, and he said, I've got so much that I can't fit it in my barn. So he said, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build new ones so I can store all of my goods. And he took everything that he had, and he put it in his new barns, and he sat down, and he said, my soul's at ease. Everything's wonderful. But then the Bible said, God said, today, thou fool, thy soul has been required of thee. Because of spiritual laziness, he sat back in ease and said he had plenty and there was nothing to worry about. Slothfulness. There are two things about being spiritually slothful. One, it neglects the time you should be preparing for heaven. Slothfulness neglects the time that you should be preparing for heaven. See, the slothful won't run. The slothful won't run because it's too much work to run. The spiritual condition of slothfulness, it neglects to prepare. It neglects to make ready. Paul said to the church, he said, redeem the time. He said, be wise and redeem the time. He said, be wise about how you spend your time. Understand that we don't have all the time in the world. Understand that tomorrow is not promised to you and I. The Bible declares that life is but a vapor. It appears for a moment and then it's gone. What are you doing with the time that God has given to you? Are you sitting back in ease and saying, I've got plenty, I don't need anything? But yet inside you're spiritually destitute. Yet inside you're spiritually broken. Yet inside you're neglecting the spiritual life. There are so many people so hungry for the spiritual life that they are literally lethargic in the spiritual realm of things. If we were to, God was to open our eyes to the spiritual conditions of America, you would see very many people in such a starving condition. It would dishearten many Christians at the condition of those people who are sitting on the sidelines saying, will somebody please feed my soul because I'm starving for something that's real. We need to be spiritually wise about the time you have because you don't have a lot of it. We need to be spiritually wise about the time that we are in. I don't know if you've noticed, but the Bible says that in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Have you watched the news lately? Have you seen society? Have you looked at how America in the spiritual condition it's in? Have you just open your spiritual eyes for a moment to see how destitute the situation is, how close the coming of the Lord is? What is so scary is that if Jesus Christ was to come right now, people who should be here this morning are not here, but they would break down those glass doors to get into this place to find out if someone here was still here in this place because they thought they had time. They thought they had time to waste. And so they sat back in spiritual slothfulness and laziness and said, it's okay, I'll sit back in these. We don't got time. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. It's time right now. Don't be slothful in your spiritual business, but be concerned about it. Take it seriously. King Saul was so busy forming his kingdom that he forgot to focus on God's kingdom. And because of his spiritual laziness, it cost him everything. The two things about spiritual slothfulness, it neglects the time that one should be preparing for heaven, and it often brings about a repentance that is untimely. Think about it. The five foolish virgins found out they had no oil when? When God shut the door to the ark, the peoples began to see rain for the first time. They realized Noah was telling the truth. But it's too late. I want you to understand something, that there is a time that it's too late. When is that time? When God shuts the door. And you can't look at society and not see that the door could be closing. You can't look at it. Now, God has, in his mercy and grace, kept the door open that he might win people to him, that he might, that we, as it is the examples of Christ, might win folks in and bring them in. But listen, we've got very little time in this. And if we sit back in laziness in our spiritual condition and say, I've got all the time in the world, one day you'll repent, but it could be too late. Which brings me to my first point. The spiritually slothful are slow to start on the road to heaven. When people are spiritually slothful, they make delays. They procrastinate. Procrastinate simply means to put off what needs to be done today for tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and you take what should have been done yesterday and you say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. By the time you get to thinking about it, it's been months and weeks that you even thought about doing it again. You ever done that? It's called procrastination. Remember in Bible college when I had books to read, I would procrastinate to read certain books. I thought, oh, I could read that. I'll read it later. I'll read it later. I'll read it later. The last month of Bible college, I had five books to read, and they were all about 300 to 400 pages each. And I thought, oh, dear Lord, help me to get this done. Crunch time. Because of procrastination. Many Christians do the same thing. The altar call comes. I'll get in there later. God deals with the heart. I'll get in there later. God says, run to me. And they say, I'll do it later. I've got time. I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe next Sunday. Maybe next week. Maybe when I get a little older. I can't tell you how many teenagers I've heard say that. That the gospel's for old people. They procrastinate. A lot of spiritual struggles are simply the results of spiritual procrastination. A lot of Christians sit there and go, I don't know why I'm struggling. Why didn't you answer the altar call last week and receive strength? Slothfulness gets in our lives and it creates in us an idealism of procrastination. It says, it's all right, I've got time. I'll just simply put it off for a moment. But you'll find yourself procrastinating and procrastinating to the point to where you lost the whole fire of why you should have done what you did. You ever done that? Procrastinate so long that when it was time to do it again, you lost the whole purpose and why you were going to do it to begin with? I cannot tell you how many altar calls in my own very personal life that I have missed. That God was dealing with my heart and said, come to me right now. I want to deal with this. But I said in my own mind and in my own heart, I'll come later. Procrastination. Many believers do it. You should not do it. It's detrimental because when I did finally come, the fire and the zeal that would have been at that altar call was not there. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. When God calls, that's the time to come. When God says come, it's the time to come. The Bible says no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And when the Spirit's drawing, that's the time. That's the moment. That's when God's going to move. I've seen people come to God at that moment when God's drawing them and great revival breaks out in their life. But when the Spirit's not drawing them, there's not a great sense of repentance and revival. There's just a sense of, God, did you hear me? You got to come in the time that God calls. And the slothful will procrastinate. They put it off. Don't be slothful, but be diligent. I said, don't be slothful, but be diligent in your service to God. Say in your heart, when God calls, God, here I come. When God deals, say, God, I hear your words and I'll do it. Don't be slothful and put it off for tomorrow. Don't be spiritually lazy. Don't find yourself spiritually broke when God says, come, and you find no oil in your lamp. Don't be lazy, but do what he says. Be diligent in your service and start doing it right this very minute. Quit being slothful right now. I don't want a raising of hands, but if I was to ask the question, how many people read their Bible this week? The lack of hands that would go up in honesty would alarm you. The ones that spent more than 5 minutes in prayer this week, not the prayers of, oh, me, you know what I mean? Oh, dear God, what's going on? That's not prayer, okay? I'm talking about prayer. Amen? Prayer. How often you prayed this week? And if you raised your hand and said, I prayed more than 5 minutes, you'd be surprised at how many didn't pray even 5 minutes. Why is that? Well, it could be simplistic of just issue of ignorance, of not knowing that you should have. So the truth is that many Christians didn't do it because they neglected it. They procrastinated it. They were slothful in it. That brings me to my second point. The spiritually slothful value their excuses more than the work that needs to be done. One preacher said, excuses is nothing but a shell or skin stuffed with lies. Everybody has excuses. The slothful make excuses. I couldn't do it. I couldn't be there. When the truth is, they didn't want to be there. They didn't want to do it. I couldn't answer the altar call, God, because I was busy. My turkey was going to burn. The service was over once the preacher was done preaching, so I just left. And the altar call wasn't as important to me. Is the truth. Excuses. I can't tell you how many I've heard. I cannot tell you how many I've heard. I couldn't come because of this. I couldn't come because of family. I couldn't come because of friends. I couldn't come because of this. And you know, the biggest problem today in the church is the excuses. The lack of honesty in the service to God. When people become real with God, they see the blessings of God flow. But when the excuses flow, there is no blessings to flow. God doesn't want to hear your excuses. He wants to hear the truth of the condition and the spiritual place that you're in. You give God the truth and you'll receive the truth of His word, His grace, His mercy, His love, His power, His forgiveness. You'll find all that there. But keep playing games with excuses and every altar call you answer will be empty of God's power. Excuses don't get it done, and the slothful value their excuses. They're like riches in their pockets. They put them in their pockets, and it's the greatest thing they have. When someone sees you and says, hey, I haven't seen you at church in a while. Oh, well, here it is. The slothful value those excuses, and they hold on to them. And they refuse to go forward. Because they are stuck in their excuses. God is a very real God. Whether you like it or not, He knows you very well. Even better than you know yourself. I can't tell you how many times God had to tell me, quit making excuses. Because it flows in all of our lives, don't it? I mean, come on. And it's a part of that flesh that wants to keep us spiritually lazy. Keep us down from going forward. Excuses just don't get it done. And if you let the devil, he'll give you excuse after excuse after excuse. Before long, you won't come to church for years and months and weeks. And you'll say, how did I get here? And it's been the devil giving you excuse after excuse after excuse. Well, my wife. Well, my job. Well, my friends. Well, my family. Well, oh, the house broke down or the car broke down. There's tons of excuses. There's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons why you should not be here today, right? You probably had about 4 or 5 reasons why you didn't have to be here today. 4 or 5 excuses that you could have used to say, well, you know, I don't have to go today. Those excuses stem from that slothfulness that the enemy wants to keep us in. God expects us to be real, and the slothful value their excuses. The third thing about being slothful is that the spiritually slothful, their work that they do is always half-hearted. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this in church. Pastor, I want to do this for the Lord. Praise God, I say. Do it for the Lord. And then all of a sudden, when it becomes work, you can't find them anymore. You don't see them anymore. All of a sudden, it's become a job. All of a sudden, the fire that said, I want to do this for the Lord, became work because the flesh said, why are you doing this? And the enemy said, why are you working so hard for the church? What are they doing for you? And then you're sitting back in disgust saying, well, I don't understand why I don't have that same zeal that I once had. I don't understand why I don't feel that same passion why I used to have. And then you say, oh, I don't understand it. And God's saying, it's work. I asked you to work. How many of you feel like going to work when you go? A lot of times we get up and our body says, go back to sleep. Sometimes we wake up. And the discipline that is required to go to work and do the job and perform the duties and the tasks that have to be done, you begrudge them. You think, I don't want to do that today, but I've got to do it today. How many of you, on every job, there's always that one thing you just hate to do. Always. There's got to be something you just don't like to do. And there's always that day you got to do it and you want to call in. Listen, I've got a good excuse for you. It's come from my own spiritual slothfulness. You call your boss and you say, I have an eye problem. They say, you got an eye problem? You say, yeah, I can't see myself coming in today. That'll get you out of what you got to get done. But the half-hearted, they do it for a moment. They do it with zeal and they do it with excitement. But when it becomes a job, all of a sudden fire's gone and the discipline is gone. It's all fun when it's exciting, but we listen, working and doing the things for God is not always about being exciting. The spiritual things that God has placed in your heart, He expects you to be committed to. Committed to. Don't come and say, hey, Pastor, I want to do a job, and then no commitment there to do it. I've had people say, we need to do this, and then expect me to do it. That's the half-hearted. I'm not doing the job that God wants you to do. I'm doing the job that God wants me to do. And if we all do the job that God wants us to do with all of our heart, we'll see God do great things in this land. Amen? We'll see God do great things in this land. We'll see Him do it right here in Kingman, Arizona. But the half-hearted never get it done. The Bible says, don't let a double-minded man think that he's going to get anything from God. That's what the Bible said. That's not Pastor Bruce. That's what God's Word said. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and don't let him think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. That's a half-hearted man. He's in for a moment. He's out for a moment. He's in for a little bit. Then he's out for a little bit. I could give you countless examples and stories through Scripture of people who served God in such a capacity, and it always was a failure. God expects you to go all the way. But the spiritually slothful, they make excuses. They work half-hearted. The spiritually slothful, my fourth point is this. The spiritually slothful miss the season when things should be done. Think about it. If a farmer missed the planting season, would he have a harvest? Every year I say, I'm going to plant a garden. Every year. It's because of slothfulness that I don't. I sit in the recliner and I think, this is nice. Haven't got to sit here for a while. I think I'll sit here for a little bit. then I'll go do the garden. Time goes by after the hour nap. I wake up. The garden can wait till tomorrow. Needless to say, I have yet to have a garden. Now, I have bought supplies. Matter of fact, it reminded me that I was going to do a garden. I was in the garage cleaning, and there's these pots. And my wife says, what are these pots for? Well, that's for my garden. I'm going to do okra in that garden. I'm going to have tomatoes. I'm going to do it. You know, some of the things that I really wanted to plant, I missed the season. And my wife said, next year, honey. And I said in my heart, we'll see. Because I often know myself, the time, the things that have to be done, I miss that time. If we miss the season of the time for things to be done, we won't receive the right harvest. We won't receive what God can give for us. And the slothful are the folks who will oftentimes miss the season for things to be done. The timing for things to be done. God may say to you when you go to a grocery store, hey, I want you to talk to that person about the Lord. The season's right. My pastor told a story about a time he was getting gas at a gas station. And he went into the gas station, and there was a lady behind the counter. The line was long. He was paying for his gas, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him. He said, tell that woman about me. And all the way up there, he just felt like, oh, they're going to make fun of me. These people are going to think I'm a nut. You know, they're going to think I'm crazy. I'm talking about Jesus in a line. I mean, come on. You know, he all these things were going through his mind like they go through our mind. When he got up there, he chickened out, he said. He said, I chickened out, and I went out, and I pumped my gas. But I gave her too much money for my gas, so I had to go get change. He said, so when I went in there, he said, I finally mustered up enough courage to go in there and say it. And he stood there, and he said, the Lord spoke to me and told me to tell you that he loves you and that he wants you to come back home. Lo and behold, she's a backslidden preacher's daughter. And she had been praying, God, do you hear me? God, are you still there? He would have missed the season if he wouldn't have said a word. It was the right time, at the right place, at the right moment. And she wept behind the counter of a gas station as she heard God say, I hear your prayer, and I love you, and I want you to come home. All of that happened because the season was right. The slothful will often miss the season. Don't take for granted the time. Don't be lazy. The slothful, they don't run. They lay in their bed like a door in its hinge, and they churn and churn. But God says, get out of the bed. It's time to work. It's time to run. It's time to be faithful. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Because of this, oftentimes the people who live in slothfulness, they have no fruit or they have bad fruit. They have no fruit because they did not work, or their fruit is bad because they did not work the way they should have. I could preach forever right there about the condition of our time, because today ministers have become spiritually lazy. They do not want to preach a message that will cause them to have to teach the truth, to deal with the sinful conditions of humanity. Because of spiritual slothfulness, ministers have watered down the gospel so it's an ease gospel, so they could sit back and say, look at the plenty that I have. But one day God's going to say, thou fool, today thy soul is required of you. Let me read to you something Jesus said, and then I'm done. Matthew 25, I want to read this to you. Jesus talking about the talents. It's called the parable of the talents. Matthew 25 and verse number 24. Turn there. I want you to read this. Now, it'll be up on the screen for you if you need it. But turn there in your Bible. Jesus tells us the story about a man who goes into a country. And he gives to his servants, he says he gives 10 talents to one, he gives 5 talents to another, and he gives 1 talent to one. Now, talents are a form of money. And he left them in charge of his talents. And when the master came back, the servant who had 5 talents had turned it into 10 talents. And the one who had 10 talents had turned it into 20 talents. And the master said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But look at what he says to the one who has 1 talent. Look what happens in verse 24. He says, "Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine.' The Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury.'" God expects return in our lives. But the slothful, they will not run. I said the slothful, they will not run. The lazy, they will not run. And because they don't run, there is no return. Paul said, "Run that you may obtain. Run that you might get a hold of it. Run that you might possess it. Run that it might be yours to have. Run with the purpose that it is yours to gain." But the slothful, they will not run. We've got to deal with the spiritual laziness in our life if we're going to run the way Paul commands us to run. We've got to deal with it. If we deal with it properly, we'll see revival in our life. Amen? We'll see revival in our life. If we eliminate the excuses and start being real with God and saying, "God, the reason why I haven't gone to church is because I'm spiritually dead and dry. It's because I haven't cared to go. It's because my heart doesn't truly want to be there. But I'm asking you, change my heart, oh God. Create in me a new spirit. Renew my mind, oh God." Without the excuses, revival comes. We need to get rid of those. We need to work wholeheartedly. We need to put everything our hand finds to do, do it with all of our might. When it becomes work, praise God that you got something to do. We shouldn't miss the season of what needs to be done. And we should not procrastinate on our spiritual condition. We need to be ready. I said we need to be ready.